Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have Aram, the co-founder of Solidate and a Web3 advocate, here today with us to discuss a little bit about some of his ventures and how he became interested in the crypto industry. So, thanks so much for being here, Aram.
Hi, Mark.
So, to get started, if you could maybe just tell the audience a little bit about how you first were introduced to crypto and what made you interested in the underlying technology.
So it was 2017. It was everybody was talking about Bitcoin those days, and obviously I also got curious. I started doing some research. I found some ways to purchase some Bitcoin, and then at the end of 2017, when the market crashed, I kind of forgot about crypto for a while. So I was a little bit I was watching things from the side, but I wasn't actively involved anymore. And then I really started looking closely at the space in 2020 when the DeFi summer was picking up. And, I was at home, it was COVID. So I guess I was a little bored maybe. So I kind of started going deep into all these new different DEXs and lending protocols, et cetera, you name it. And basically just started playing around. And during that time, Ethereum was the main thing. And there were also a couple of other chains. So I kind of started experimenting, playing around, understanding how things work. And I really started realizing that this DeFi summer is going to unlock a whole new range of possibilities that didn't really exist in 2017. In 2017, it was more about, okay, we have coins and we have a lot of projects. They are doing all these ICOs. 99% of them are, let's just say, dodgy projects, right? But there wasn't really this idea that we want to build decentralized finance, for example, on the chain and have legit use cases. But then in 2020 and 2021, we started seeing these cases. And then in 21, you had also this huge NFT boom. And I guess that's when I really started getting involved. And in 2021, I decided to start my own company because before I was working in consulting in a large corporate environment. And I decided to try something new, especially in the Web3 space. So that's when I went into this accelerator in Singapore called Antler, went through their program, did a few iterations, and ultimately ended up starting my company, which is a decentralized Web3 talent marketplace. And basically, yeah, since then I've been dipping crypto and for the past couple of years, I'm really about crypto and trying to simplify it for the 99% of people who still don't really understand what is this crypto Web3 thing.
I can definitely understand that. That's a lot of what I've been trying to do with this podcast for a while now. And I think, that's one of the best things you can do for the industry is just kind of educate people and help them understand and, figure out what's confusing to them and walk them through it. So I think that's great and a great service to the whole industry. So since you've started in the industry, what kind of changes do you think you've noticed between, the DeFi summer and now, coming in? Have you noticed a big shift in the way big businesses are treating it, or investors, or even retail and the average user of these products?
Right. So I think, and so we have to realize that in 2021 we had this huge bull market, right? That was driven by a number of factors. One factor was like interest rates were pretty much zero. Government was literally pumping money, U.S. government primarily, into the economy. So and people were using some of that money just to gamble, buy things. So it was this 2022. A lot of these Web3 protocols started importing. It started with Terra Luna, and then we had Celsius, BlockFi. Then, of course, there was the FTX and all the others, right? So, end of 2022 was a deep crypto winter, and then 2023 was a slow recovery. But towards the end of 2023 and beginning of 2024, I think we're seeing the beginning of a new bull run. But so this is one big difference, right? So back then there was this hype. But now people are more cautious. And I guess you have to understand that markets always go, all markets, not just crypto markets, but all markets go in cycles, bull and bear. And it's no exception, right? We saw the dot-com bubble happening, and then these kind of cycles just keep happening. I think it's just in human nature to be greedy when things are good and be overly conservative when things are bad. But having said that, I think now the sentiment is different. In 2021, you saw capital being injected in Web3 companies at huge valuations without any proper due diligence. The result of that was like the FTX was the biggest example, right? That like some very big name VCs like Sequoia, they put money, they were calling Sam Bankman-Fried the next trillion-dollar guy. And essentially, he just turned out to be a fraudster. And like all of these VCs, they didn't do proper due diligence. So one big shift is from investors is like, okay, we should not put money in companies just based on their promise, but we should be much more careful. So there's a lot more stress now on companies having traction, on having real legit use cases where they're solving real problems. So this is one thing. Second, I think overall the public is also the sentiment is different. So, like for example, if you look at the NFT market, right, it's down big time. So this gambling element of 2021, where people mostly were buying crypto, not because they really believed in that, but because okay, let me just make some quick money. I got this government check. I want to buy this NFT. I want to flip it. I want to make 10,000% yield in 1 month, right? That thing is largely gone, and I think now we see more people building real projects that are solving real life problems. So I think this is not a difference. The third main difference is in 2021, crypto was not very legit. And the result of that was we saw the environment and the regulators, especially the SEC, were not being very proactive. But after the bubble burst, there was a realization we can't let these things happen because we had Do Kwon from Terra. Right now, he's under arrest. We have Sam Bankman-Fried, who needs to be sentenced. He's been found guilty. We have other founders who are at different stages, who are either going for their court cases or will be charged, right? So enforcement has been ramped up. And apart from that, there also have been a number of major court cases where crypto companies have won. And I think the big, not just crypto companies, I think the biggest win that we had was the approval of the Bitcoin ETFs. So because that was legitimizing crypto in the eyes of the public, and you see all these large investment managers like BlackRock, Fidelity, etc., they start allocating a small percentage of their assets into Bitcoin. And you may look and say 1% is not a lot, but when they manage trillions of dollars, 1% is actually billions of dollars. And we have seen a large amount, billions of dollars of institutional capital flowing into crypto, primarily into Bitcoin. And this is institutional money. And these institutions have to be super compliant. They're not like retail investors. They can do whatever they want, right? And in a way that is legitimizing crypto, saying, hey, you know what? Bitcoin is not a security. So this was the first major win when the Bitcoin ETF got approved. Now, I think the next thing what's going to happen is the Ethereum ETF, which I think all the major asset managers that have approved, that have applied and got approved for Bitcoin ETF, they have also applied for Ethereum ETF. And I think that's going to be approved. It's hard to say when, but that is the next thing in the pipeline that I think is a. There is largely consensus that it is going to happen. It's just a matter of when rather than if. So I think those are the three key differences when it comes to the sentiment. And I guess In terms of what is the next cool thing, like every bull market has its own thing. I think in 2020 it was DeFi summer. In 2024, 2025, when we really entered the next bull run, I think it will be probably restaking, staking, liquid staking, liquid restaking, all of these things. We can talk about it, but I think this whole staking, restaking, liquid restaking thing is going to be huge. But that's just my prediction.
That all makes sense, and that was very well put. Thank you for that. One question that I sort of thought of is internationally, I know you do a lot of work in Asia and overseas, so I was wondering if you had noticed different perspectives on different chains. I know like Ordinals is really popping off in China, and I know Solana had always had a pretty good foothold in the Asian market. Have you noticed sort of in different demographics, certain, either chains or protocols or sort of innovations in the industry really sticking where they might be and might not be in other places?
Oh yeah. So I mean, I want to start by saying one thing, which I don't know, like I call it uncomfortable truth, but I think that's the reality. Crypto is very US focused thing. If you look at most of the Bitcoin miners, they are in the US. If you look at most of the Ethereum stakers, a large part of them are in the US. If you see what is actually driving the crypto bull market, where that capital is coming from, it's from the US. And as I've mentioned already, it's largely institutional capital, right? Because in many other jurisdictions, for example, in Canada, you had these ETFs approved a couple of years ago, but they didn't really make a dent. Because what really made a dent when it was approved in the US? So US is the one, like the locomotive that's kind of pulling crypto forward. In a lot of other economies, crypto is forbidden, like in China, which is the second biggest economy by the nominal value. It's pretty much forbidden, you can say. So it's really the US that's really pulling this forward. Having said that, and by the way, if you also look at the VCs, right, who are the ones that are pumping the most money? Who are the tier one VCs like, I don't know, a16z and the likes of that? They are all US based. It's largely US money. Having said that, crypto is, I think, probably one industry that's more or less global, right? So a lot of things that are happening in the US, they are very much relevant for Asia, right? So like everybody agrees that Bitcoin is the digital gold. I think there's no, it doesn't matter whether you're in Asia or whether you're in US. Everybody agrees that Ethereum is probably the second most important chain where you can actually build things. And then I guess the same goes for Ordinals, etc., right? But there are some differences when it comes to the use cases. And what do I mean by that, right? In developing countries and in developed countries like US, for example, like Western countries, developed countries, and developing countries, but primarily there is three regions that I would want to highlight: Asia, Africa, and Latin America, right? In these three regions, which are developing fast and developed markets, Western Europe, US, Canada, etc., they have different pain points. The people who live in these countries, they have different pain points, right? So for this reason, you have some regional varieties of chains which are catering to these different people. For example, one of the biggest example is a chain called Tron, started by Justin Sun. He's I don't know where he is based. I think he originally he was born in China, and the main focus was, I don't want to call it Chinese because that's not really the case, but originally, when he started Tron, his focus was Asia. Then it quickly spread to other developing markets. If you ask someone from, I don't know, Pakistan or some Nigeria or somewhere from Latin America, they probably know Tron because it's a simple chain. It's an L1 where you can just send money, and 95% of the stable coins on Tron, and I think it's last time I checked, it was $50 billion. It's Tether. So, and this is one of the big reasons why Tether is dominating USDC, actually, because Tether absolutely dominates Tron, and Tron is $50 billion, and it's not a joke, right? A lot of people, millions of people, use Tron for legit purposes, for sending money to each other because it's cheap. Because if you remember in 2021, in 20, even these days, sending things on Ethereum is very prohibitively expensive for people in developing countries because they are transacting small amounts. If you want to send $100 and you want to pay, I don't know, $10, $20 fee, that's crazy. Sometimes you want to swap something and that's like, wow, this is going to cost me so much money, right? So this is one example where this huge difference exists, right? People in the US, maybe they don't care or they can just Venmo money to each other or whatever, right? But these Venmo tools, they don't exist in a lot of developing countries. So this is one reason why Tron is super popular among developing countries, but not really popular in the developed world. Another use case, for example, could be, let's say, web-free mobile games for developing markets, which are, again, they are primarily mobile games with some elements of on-chain. Again, these games are primarily popular in developing markets. Why? Because most people just don't have laptops, let alone gaming laptops, and they're just their first and only tool accessing internet has been a mobile, and it's primarily a cheap one. It's usually not an iPhone. It's a low to mid-range phone. And on these phones, a lot of people just play these games, and these games again are using different cheap chains where you can store your in-game items on the chain, you can trade, etc. Right? This is another use case. But yeah, I think largely some regional varieties exist, but as I've mentioned, crypto is still crypto, so people in all markets believe in Bitcoin, Ethereum. And I guess, of course, even when it comes to centralized institutions, like this huge difference exists, right? Like, for example, Binance, you know, like they had some challenges in the US. There was this recent case where they settled, CZ pled guilty to the charges. And essentially, their operations in the US are quite small these days. I think, I don't even remember like if they still operate or they're planning to shut down the US or they're kidding. But essentially, it's dominated by Coinbase and there's Kraken, etc. These are American exchanges, right? And Coinbase, for example, if you look, it's a publicly traded company. On the other hand, Coinbase doesn't really have a lot of presence in developing countries. You can't even get Coinbase if you live in a large number of countries simply because it's not available. On the other hand, Binance and a lot of other exchanges are dominating developing countries. The ones like OKX, HTX, which again was started by Justin Sun, the founder of Tron, etc. There's a lot of them, right? And these are the exchanges that are popular in these developing markets. So I guess you can say even among centralized exchanges, each one has its own markets and they offer I don't want to say different products, but they just have slightly different profiles, and some of them are more risk takers. The others are more risk averse. They don't have a lot of crypto, only the mainstream tokens. Others are more risk takers, and they would have all these new tokens traded on centralized exchanges. But this is another difference when it comes across the markets.
Yeah, I think those are all really great points. And I think, yeah, Tron, it's really interesting. I think that was a great example to bring up because I had some overseas developers try and reimburse me for something and ask me if I would take, Tether on Tron. And I was like, wow, I did not think that many people actually use that. So it's surprising, but it's huge. They were like, yeah, we use this with all of our friends, is that we pay each other for things. So I think it's really interesting to see how different pockets develop this technology and how it sort of takes off in some places and not others. That being said, there's so much of this technology out there. If you are someone who's truly like new to the crypto ecosystem, what do you advise them as far as where to start, the types of exchanges to start looking at, the wallets to use, the tokens and projects to invest in? I think a lot of your audience is probably pretty new, so what has been your sort of your idea or your sort of guiding sense as to where to lead them when they come to you for advice?
Okay, so my advice is that if you want to learn about crypto, do it because you are genuinely interested and not because you want to gamble. Because if you think you can gamble, trust me, there is a lot of smart people, professional traders, NFT flippers, all the degens out there who are actually, because if you look at trading, it's a zero-sum game, right? Someone makes money, somebody else loses money. And the people who lose money are mostly unsophisticated retail investors who think they can just come to crypto, just put a few hundred dollars, and they can just flip a few coins, and then they can make some money, right? The chances are you won't be making any money. So if you want to just gamble, and I think I like to call things by their names. Some people say, oh, don't say gambling. It's all, I mean, it is. People, you call it speculation, gambling, whatever you want to call it. If you are in crypto just to make quick money, it's probably not a good idea. If you are in crypto or Web3 space because you fundamentally believe it offers new value, then it's a different conversation. So, having said that, if you want to learn about crypto, there's lots of sources, right? I mean, one thing that you can do is probably just get an account with a centralized exchange, because that's the first thing. Like, okay, how do I buy some crypto, right? Because if you want to transact on chain, you could be needing some crypto, and the chances are, if you don't have any crypto, well, going for a centralized exchange is probably the best way, and most likely the only way for you. So you sign up, and a lot of centralized exchanges, whether it's Coinbase, Binance, whatever, right? They all have these learn sections, this thing called Academy. They even have these interesting programs, which is called Learn to Earn. And essentially, a lot of projects are paying you a few dollars if you just take a 5, 10, 20 minute, whatever course, and then answer a few quick questions, and then they'll just give you a few tokens. And hopefully that will spark some interest and you'll start using their protocol, right? So there is a lot of programs. So whenever you choose a large exchange, it just comes down to where you live and which one you want. You have to just kind of ask around and do some research which one you want to have. Ideally, you will. It doesn't cost to open an account with an exchange. So my advice is just probably just rely on one exchange. See which one is offering the best fees. Get a couple of accounts with a couple of centralized exchanges. Start buying some crypto, and then learning, right? So and they will explain to you in very basic terms what is Bitcoin, what is Ethereum, etc. Then if you want to learn, like there is so much information in YouTube, it's hard for me to give one very specific place to say, okay, if you just go here, this is the Wikipedia of crypto, it's all there. I mean, there's a lot of it. So it's kind of
Are there certain
decentralized.
influencers maybe you think would be good to follow, or like is it Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook or TikTok or Instagram? What are your thoughts
Look,
on
I
just
mean,
where to even start?
I
My
think
aunt asked me, where do I even start when I get a Twitter account, for example?
all right, so on Twitter, you definitely have a lot of people who are sharing insights, educating about crypto, etc., right? But again, my gut feeling is if you're on Twitter, you probably are advanced user, because at least the ones that I follow, most of them are pretty advanced users. They are sharing all this super detailed analysis that 99% of people don't even need to know or are not interested in, right? So it's mostly for the audience that has been in crypto for a while, that understands all these dynamics and is interested in learning more. There are some creators, again, one thing that I'm also doing myself personally, right? I'm probably not the comprehensive source to just come and learn about crypto, but what I've started doing is I realized, you know what? There isn't a great source for people to learn about crypto. So I've been posting for about 2 years now on LinkedIn. I call it like simplifying things for the 99%. I don't go too deep into technical details, but I try to share things so that you can just come see my post. Okay, 30 seconds zoom. I understood what's going on. Okay, so for example, the Bitcoin prices increases not caused by retail investors, it's actual institutional money flowing into Bitcoin. Why? One, two, three, simple points. Boom. Okay, I understood this. There is definitely a lot of other great creators. It's just hard for me to pinpoint someone specific. I guess you just have to do some research and try to find the ones that vibe with you. And also, different creators have different angles. Someone is talking more about NFTs. The other one is a bit more about metaverse. The third one is more about building communities. The fourth person is more talking about the generic Web3 space, right? So there's a lot of creators. But again, just like Web3, this space is kind of very decentralized, so we don't have a single source of truth. But again, as a starting point, I would recommend if you go to centralized exchange, most of them have these basic learning sections. These are the basic building blocks. Once you understand what is Bitcoin, what is Ethereum, how things work, what is DeFi, what is Uniswap, what is Aave, etc., then you can start learning more advanced. And there is probably a lot of resources out there that will teach you. But one thing that you should realize is if you go into crypto and you start learning everything, you're going to feel overwhelmed. And that's totally okay. I was feeling the same way when I was starting. I guess what you should do is just take one step at a time. And then the second, realize that you don't really need to know every single thing. The best comparison to this is a lot of people think if they don't understand every single thing in crypto, they're lost. They can't or shouldn't be in crypto. They shouldn't own cryptocurrencies. No, that's not the case. Like most people actually, they drive cars, right? But if you ask them, how exactly does the crankshaft work? They're like, what, which part is the crankshaft? Like, I mean, right? If we just go into like all these super technical details, like is it carburetor engine? Is it direct engine? Like, what are you talking about? I just got Toyota or I got Mercedes or whatever, right? They don't know. So I guess for most people, they should be happy knowing the basic details and not going into super duper nitty technical details. But for those who want to go, there's plenty of resources out there.
Yep, I think that is a great point to make, and I think a lot of the people building these products, they're very technical, they're developers, and they think that everyone thinks the way they do, and it blocks a lot of people out, and they just don't understand what's going on and have a hard time picking and understanding what's actually of value to different ecosystems and what isn't. So when it comes to you as an investor, are there certain sort of protocols you have in place to, research different co companies or tokens or projects? Do you just sort of hear about them through the grapevine, through friends, and then invest? Or are you, constantly just looking through Twitter, following certain people, or just looking for companies that are solving problems you've already identified in the past?
Okay, so one thing to understand about crypto is, right, everybody has a different risk profile. So whatever investments I am making, it may not be the right one for you, right? So it really depends on your income, risk tolerance, existing assets, whatever, right? So just whatever I say, just take it as a, it's not advice, right? So it's just I'm sharing my experience and you probably do some research yourself and understand what works for you. But having said that, I use a lot of different sources to learn about different projects and different tokens to invest in. But I would describe myself as someone who's still primarily investing in this legit proven tokens like Bitcoin, Ethereum. I don't go too big on these altcoins, which is there's like thousands of them, and I even made a post recently saying I think since 2017 we had 24,000 different types of tokens and most of them are dead already. And this trend is not going to change in this upcoming bull market. We're going to have a lot of new tokens and most of them are going to die because I think most of them again are for gambling slash speculation, or they have been created for the teams behind them to make some quick money. But having said that, you decide what you want to do, right? If you say, I have some capital, I want to do some risky bets, then you should be ready to lose that capital. If you say, I'm allocating only a small percentage of my overall portfolio to crypto, risk averse, okay, great. That's your strategy, right? So I'm not going to give advice to anyone, but I will say that what works for me is just doing research, understanding how much money I want to allocate to crypto, how much I want to allocate to other resources, because I think portfolio diversification across crypto and across other asset classes, could be equity, bonds, real life assets like real estate, whatever, right? It's probably the best strategy for the 95% people. But yeah, and the final thing is, if you just go into all these digital altcoins, tokens, NFTs, whatever, and you do these risky trades, you should realize that there's a good chance you're gonna lose most or all of your money, and you should be ready. You should be ready for that. So I guess that's my advice. It's a bit
That's good
generic, but
advice.
I just can't just say, hey,
No,
you
I think
should do
that's
this or
great
you should do
advice.
that.
I always tell everyone if you don't know what you're doing, just buy Bitcoin, and that's just leave it at that until you've really learned and you understand the industry. But that being said, I guess as someone who sort of follows the industry pretty closely, have you noticed any sort of themes emerging for the upcoming bull run as far as the different types of use cases that you see a lot of people attempting to apply this technology to? So whether that's real world asset tokenization or just new and different ways to do decentralized exchanges, are there any that you've noticed in particular that you would either like to talk about or that you feel are an important part of the ecosystem going forward?
Right. So okay, let's just start. So I'll start with what I mentioned earlier. So I think staking, liquid staking, risk staking, liquid risk staking, all this narrative, I think it's going to be big. It essentially started mid last year when this protocol, Eigenlayer started, and essentially they let you take your Ethereum to secure other chains. So this is the very simple idea, right? And then on top of that, they started building this liquid risk staking, et cetera, et cetera. So I won't go into it. It's a bit, it can be confusing, but essentially you are using Ethereum, which is one of the main legit cryptos out there, to secure other chains, right? And on top of that, you have all these things built. I think this is going to be one of the major narratives during this bull market. Second narrative, as you mentioned, is real world assets on chain. These ones are going to be driven primarily by centralized institutions who put this real f who fractionalize real world assets and put it on chain. And I think it's going to make these real world assets more accessible to a large number of people, and it's also going to make transacting much more easy. I mean, one of the primary use cases is, we already have it. It's the stable coins. It's USDC by Circle and Tether, and collectively there's like 130 billion plus of stable coins on chain. They're controlled by centralized entities, two entities, right? Tether has about 100 billion plus, and USDC has a bit less than 30 billion, right? So this so far has been the primary use case. Essentially, these entities would be buying U.S. Treasury bonds, and it would serve sort of as a collateral, and they would be issuing this token on the chain. But again, going forward, where I think we're going to see a large number of assets, this industry, because they are controlled by centralized entities, they have to play by the rules. So we also have to look closely at the regulatory environment to see, for example, where and how we can do the same thing for bonds, for equities, etc., right? So I think this is a very exciting area, but we need more regulatory clarity. There are some areas which are not really clear, and a lot of projects still don't offer services to U.S. citizens slash U.S. persons because of some inherent risks. But again, it's another very interesting area. The third area that I think it's a bit unproven, but there is some hype around it. It's the decentralized physical infrastructure networks, right? Like, it's think of it as, for example, there's different projects. I'll just try to just oversimplify. For example, one project, which is, we're going to give you a dash cam, you put in your car and you drive around, and you capture all that information, and we're going to build the decentralized version of Google Maps. And when that project starts making money, we're going to pay you back in tokens. So essentially, it's some sort of protocol which is creating maps, and it's updating and it's sharing value back to the community. Now, it's not proven yet. Can you actually beat Google? I don't know. There's other thing which is like this decentralized, should I say, decentralized Wi-Fi connectivity network, right? I'm just very simplifying things here, right? But this is another thing, or decentralized AI compute platforms with where people essentially rent out their GPUs for AI models to train on, etc. Right? So there's all sorts of, and these are just only a few use cases, but it's a promising area. But it still needs to prove itself. I think DeFi has proven itself largely, but this it's called depend. It still needs to prove itself, but I think it's another promising area. I guess another area I'm interested in is this decentralized social media, right? If you look at a lot of the existing platforms, they're pretty much owned by a couple of companies. One is Microsoft owning LinkedIn, then the other one is Meta. They have the Facebook, Instagram, and then there's the TikTok, right? And these few platforms probably control, I don't know, like 90, probably 98, 99% of all the social media traffic. And essentially, all these platforms are like silos. They're completely not related to each other. Well, apart, unless, for example, you have these Threads by Meta, and now you could sign up using your Instagram. If you are within the same ownership, there can be some data exchange, right? But if it's between, let's say, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, they're all different companies. So if you want to, as a creator, if you want to build a brand, you have to start being on every single platform differently. And you have zero control, zero ownership. You are at the mercy of these platforms. They can do whatever they want. They can shut it down. They can censor you. It's their playing field. You only can abide by the rules and just kind of be a good user and hope that, you know, things go well. What these platforms have, they have the network effect, is that most of your friends are there, so you don't want to go to other platforms, right? This is their biggest competitive advantage. But what we have been seeing recently, platforms which operate more like a protocol, like an email. Just think this way. I'll try to simplify it. It can be a little confusing. What if there is a protocol like email, and if you could migrate your Twitter followers from Twitter to LinkedIn or from Instagram to LinkedIn, whatever, right? You own your followers, not the companies. If you are a creator, most creators actually these days, they really like emails because email, it's a protocol. Google doesn't control it. Microsoft doesn't control it. Yahoo doesn't control it. It's a protocol. I can download all my emails. I can take my subscriber list. I can go to Microsoft. I can go to some other provider, right? You're not bound to one centralized entity, but in case of social media, you are. So there's this new narrative that we are building decentralized social media where people actually own their followers. And it's a protocol, so builders can actually very easily build new things. For example, just imagine this. Let's say you are using Facebook or Instagram, and there is the official client to use it, right? But if you're a developer, you say, hey, you know what? All my data is on the chain. I'm going to build my own client. So even if the client censors it, you can build your own and you can access, or if you are not a sophisticated user, you can use another one, just like you can use different clients, right? I mentioned like Google, Microsoft, that's in case of the email. So this is the whole premise. And in the past couple of months, for example, there is this protocol, decentralized social media called Farcaster. They have been gaining a lot of traction. Just to be clear, right? These large platforms, they have billions of users. I think on Farcaster now, it's under 1 million users. So it's just getting started. Mostly there are crypto native people, but their vision is big. Their vision is to onboard also non-crypto natives and give actual creators and people more control over their data, followers, etc. And I'm I'm cautiously optimistic on these platforms. I think it's going to be challenging for them to persuade users to join them, but so far they have been doing a good job. So hopefully in the next few years we'll have more clarity whether they can truly become a platform with hundreds of millions of users or not. My personal take is that yes, they probably will get there. But again, it's just too early to say, right? This is also a bit of an unproven concept. There is another protocol called Lens Protocol, for example, which is doing something similar. So this is another area, for example, in Web3 that I'm very passionate about.
Those are all really exciting projects. I noticed a few that you had mentioned that I recognized, like Hivemapper and Helium, and a lot of these guys who are trying to decentralize these physical sort of infrastructure projects. So I'm really bullish on that too. I think it'll be really exciting to see where some of this technology takes us in 5 to 10 years. And I think a lot of people have been trying it, and some people haven't been succeeding, but I think a lot of it has just been too early, and the timing is starting to be right now for the first time.
Yes, yep. I just remembered one more very important use case, and I think it's how we can use Web3 and blockchain. It's really about like where do Web3 and AI go, right? So I think it's a bit of a complex relationship. I think AI is going to make things easy to build in Web3 because you have all these Copilot tools which makes coding easier, right? And at the same time, AI is posing a lot of challenges. You see all these new text to video creation tools which can just make super realistic videos, photos, etc., right? And one big problem is how do we make sure that this video or this image is authentic, right? And one big way, and I would say probably the best way, is using blockchain to prove authenticity because you can't tamper with the blockchain, right? And I think we're going, as AI gets better, we're going to see a lot more deep fakes in this space, and we're probably going to be using blockchain and some sort of watermarking technology to say this video of a politician or a famous person or even like an ordinary person is actually authentic because it's been authenticated by this person's wallet on the chain. So here's the proof. So this is huge use case. We still don't see it yet a lot, but I think in the next couple of years, AI is going to get really good at making things up which are not real, and we're going to need blockchain to authenticate that. So in a way, it's going to serve as a counterbalancing thing for AI, which will make us question what is real.
Yeah,
So
no, I
yeah,
think that's a
this is not
great
a
use
very important
case
use
for
case, yeah.
sure. And I can definitely imagine it being sort of the currency of AI too. AI is going to start doing a lot of commerce. It's going to be making payments. There are going to be a lot of layers where it's going to operate in its own vacuum soon. And it's going to be interesting to see how crypto starts to entangle itself. But we'll be there to see it. So hopefully I'll be able to have you back in a few years, and we can talk about all the changes that we've had then. But until then,
Yeah.
thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And if there's anything you'd like to plug for the audience before we wrap up, go ahead.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I guess my final parting thoughts are go to crypto because you believe in it, not for the hype. Because again, I've seen this over and over again. I've seen this in 2017, I've seen this in 2021. A lot of people come. They try to gamble, they lose a lot of money, they get disappointed, and they leave it. I call them tourists because I don't think they are in crypto, in Web3 for the technology or for the value add. They are in there for the money. So please look back and see what happened in the past, and let's not repeat the same mistakes again. I guess this is my takeaway for the listeners.
That's a great takeaway. And I definitely agree with you there. I think you learn in the bear markets who the tourists are, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But I think we're learning who those people are, and those people are getting rewarded right now. So it's exciting to be one of those people, and a lot of our listeners have been there for a while, so it's really rewarding when you stick around. With that, thank you guys so much, and thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode.